This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on significance of Prime Minister's virtual summits with British and Australian premiers. The participants are Anil Wadhwa, former diplomat, and Simran Sodhi, journalist.
Ambassador Wadhwa, if we look at Prime Minister Modi's recent virtual summit with Boris Johnson, and the PM referred to the virtual summit as being a very productive one, and it was also announced that a roadmap 2030 has been decided upon for elevating India-UK ties. How much of an emphasis do you give to this summit and also the roadmap 2030, which takes this bilateral relationship forward, especially as we are also looking as for the discussions going on to achieve a free trade agreement, the FTA?
I think this was quite a comprehensive summit because, although held virtually, and as you know, Boris Johnson has been trying to pay a visit to India, has not been possible despite scheduling it on two occasions in the past. But actually, this summit was very well prepared in my view. I think it was not just a common vision of a new and transformational comprehensive strategic partnership between India and UK, but also the India-UK roadmap to 2030 to steer the cooperation for the next 10 years, which you mentioned. Now, of course, one can look at it from the perspective of what is the focus of the roadmap and this partnership. But you rightly said that the meat of it lies in the trade and investment aspects of this summit. And along with that, the roadmap actually has gone into some very comprehensive areas. Something like 25 odd areas have been gone into for enhanced cooperation between India and the UK. And coupled with the 9 MOUs that were signed during this virtual summit, I think India-UK relationship is set for a quantum leap in the future.
Ambassador Wadhwa, Prime Minister later he tweeted and he said that we welcomed launch of an enhanced trade partnership as a roadmap to a comprehensive FTA with the target to more than double the bilateral trade by 2030. We also agreed upon several new initiatives in health, technology, energy, etc. And we also saw that both India and the UK, they issued a joint statement after the virtual summit. And the summit also talked about the responses and the aid which the UK has sent to India as India faces the second wave of the COVID health crisis in India. Ambassador Wadhwa, how much do you think has this initiative that the UK has reached out to India and has been among some of the most generous nations in coming to India's aid, how does this tie with the other important bilateral aspects of this relationship?
I think it's very important that this enhanced cooperation between the two, especially in terms of science and technology, and in particular vaccines that they talked about, health cooperation in particular. That's of particular importance given the fact that India is now facing this second wave, quite unexpected when this summit was being prepared. But at the same time, we've seen the alacrity with which the British government has acted and also sent, as you rightly pointed out, a lot of aid to India. Now, of course, in future, the cooperation between AstraZeneca and the Serum Institute of India is going to be crucial moving forward, not just for the Indian vaccination program, but also for the rollout of the global World Health Vaccination Program. And their cooperation in particular will be important going forward in terms of the future impact this partnership will have with third countries, especially those who cannot afford the vaccine. So from that perspective, I think there was a comprehensive discussion. It's been followed up, of course, by a visit of the External Affairs Minister to UK, as you know, who's also in the United Kingdom in connection with the G7 Foreign Ministers meeting, preparing for the G7 summit in June 2021. So if you look at it in perspective, I think it's not just the vaccine cooperation, but also overall cooperation that they discussed in terms of science and technology, biotechnology, and also what they can do together to unleash their potential in innovation, which is important.
Ambassador Wadhwa, according to the joint statement that has come out at the end of the India-UK summit, the two countries agreed to expand and enhance the existing vaccine partnership, and highlighting the successful collaboration between Oxford University, AstraZeneca and the Serum Institute of India. They emphasized that the international community should learn lessons and agree to work together to reform and strengthen WHO and the global health security architecture to strengthen pandemic resilience. Now here, if we were also to take into account the Prime Minister's call and conversation with the Australian Prime Minister yesterday, where the PM thanked the Australian PM again for the aid that we have received, but he also sought Australia's help at WTO, which India has sought waivers. How do you think the international community is looking at what is going to take place at WTO with India, South Africa? The US saying that it will back the waivers. Do you think that this is something which will be doable in the near future?
I think you touched upon a very important point here, because more than 100 countries today support the waiver for intellectual property rights under the TRIPS agreement for production of vaccines at affordable rates all the world over. And the motion has been led by India and South Africa. Now, of course, in the beginning, due to the pharmaceutical companies' lobby, countries like the United States, UK, EU, and Canada were opposed to this proposal. But over the past few days, we've seen how there's been a turnaround in the United States policy on this issue, and there's a statement which has come out very clearly in support of waiving the IPRs as far as vaccines are concerned by the United States. That is definitely going to have an effect on how other countries look at it, especially the developed countries who have developed pharmaceutical industry. And in that regard, the cooperation of UK and the European Union in general becomes important. But yes, Australia is a very important country as well, plays a very important role in the WHO. And that is why that conversation with of Prime Minister Modi with Scott Morrison was extremely important, because that will ensure equitable and affordable access to the COVID-19 vaccines in the future. And also, there would be enhanced cooperation with regard to vaccine rollout distribution going forward if this comes through. Now, of course, I don't see this happening overnight. It's going to be a process which will have to be taken up by the World Health Assembly, but also the WTO in particular, because that's where we will be debating the IPRs under the TRIPS agreement, and perhaps it will take at least 6 months before the actual agreement can be hammered out, and what are the terms which come out of this agreement also have to be looked at very, very carefully. But it's at least a saving grace that there are increasing number of countries, especially from the developed world, who are now coming around to this idea.
Mr. Bhadwa, we also saw that in the telephonic conversation, Prime Minister Modi spoke to the Australian Prime Minister, and both leaders took note of the progress made in the India-Australia Comprehensive Strategic Partnership. Since the virtual summit, which was last held in June 2020, they discussed ways to further cooperation and foster people-to-people ties. And the statement clearly says that the leaders also discussed regional issues and reiterated the importance of working together for a rules-based international order and a free, open, and inclusive Indo-Pacific region. When we see this emphasis, which is on the Indo-Pacific region and a rules-based international order, would it be fair to assume that this is again somewhere an indication of where the world stands with relation to China's increasing and seemingly dominant behavior on the global stage?
Yes, I think the cooperation between Australia and India has always stressed this factor of regional issues and the rule-based international order in the Indo-Pacific. In fact, there has been a coming together of the quad countries, precisely as you mentioned, because of the aggressive nature and policies which have been followed by China in the Indo-Pacific region in particular, and in the South China Sea, the East China Sea, on the borders with India, in the Western Pacific and the Southern Pacific. So if you take that into account, this is a natural reaction, and naturally peace-loving countries who want to preserve the rule of law and sovereignty in the region would obviously come together on these principles. And therefore, this is inevitably now a language which is being used by cooperating countries who stand for the rule of law and democracy, and language in the Quad communiques. You can see that in the bilateral engagements which are happening between India and Australia, India, United States, India and France, and India and Japan. So increasingly, you will find much more of an emphasis by these countries, because they want the Chinese policies should conform to preserving the peace and to act in accordance with the rules-based international order.
Mr. Bhadwa, we've also seen that when it comes to China, there's been talk about the Chinese vaccine, which is being bought by many countries in the world. And there's also a feeling that the US, with the latest stand that they would support the waiver, is also indulging in what is called now the vaccine diplomacy, because it also wants to balance out this influence of China and to some extent even the Russian influence when it comes to the vaccine diplomacy. Do you think that is one factor why the US has stepped up and said they would back the waiver? And also, this ties in with the Quad relationship that the US has with India today.
I think there is definitely a factor in this decision of the United States. Plus, you rightly pointed out that the Quad has also agreed that Quad will lay emphasis on manufacturing of the vaccine in India. That would mean that there would be Japanese and U.S. funding which would be provided for the production of vaccine in India, and then the rollout and the administration, etc., of the vaccine in the Indo-Pacific region would be the responsibility of Australia. So the roles have already been chalked out. Quad is to on that. That means that you must have a resilient supply chain, a manufacturing capability, which the Quad was hoping would be in India. Now, of course, India itself is facing a second wave of the pandemic, but that does not mean that its production capacity is diminished in any manner. In fact, it will have to produce more and will need this support much more going forward. And that support is quite clearly forthcoming, because we also have had a very important decision by the U.S. administration waiving off the Defense Act, under which there are important components which go into the manufacture of the Covishield vaccine of the Serum Institute, and also subsequent vaccines will follow, which will be produced by Serum Institute. So that's a far-reaching decision, and India is well on its way, well placed to ramp up its capacity of manufacturing of vaccines in the future.
Mr. Vadva, we see that in the India-UK summit, the emphasis has been to a great extent on the FTA, or the Free Trade Agreement. And what we have received at the end of the summit is that the talks will take place and the pre-FTA discussions are likely to be concluded by the end of the year. And an interim deal is likely to be reached by next year to further the discussions for an FTA. How important do you think is an FTA between India and UK to take the ties to the next level in an economic field? And also, does this become much more important now that we've had Brexit?
It's a very important step that has been taken. India is not a part of RCEP any longer. So for India, it's very important that, you know, an agreement is reached in the trade front with some other partners. And UK actually fits the bill because it's not a part of the EU any longer. But at the same time, the UK has no such encumbrances. It is now on its own. And the enhanced trade partnership that has been agreed upon will look at the scoping of the free trade agreement in the future, as you rightly pointed out, before the end of December 2021. So what this will do is actually focus on some reciprocal tariffs which could be reduced in the areas of importance for both countries. It will also focus on what to do with the services exchange between India and the UK. And it will lay the groundwork for an investment agreement, which both sides are looking forward to, given the fact that there is enormous amount of investments now from India into the United Kingdom. And the UK is looking at investing in India under schemes like the Performance Linked Initiative Scheme, the PLI, etc. So UK's presence in India in going forward in the future, and the agreements that have been signed for cooperation in defense, joint production, co-production, etc., they will all benefit from this kind of a comprehensive agreement. So you've taken a very important decision, and I think by the end of December, we will have a clear roadmap towards free trade agreement with the UK.
Mr. Vadva, another important issue that usually crops up between India and the UK is the issue of economic offenders, and India pressing the UK for an early extradition of some of the economic offenders that have fled to London. Do you feel, the legal hassles aside, a political intervention, or the fact that the two leaders have met, they have discussed this, this also helps India take forward its case in bringing back the economic offenders?
Yes, I think that was in fact mentioned very clearly by Prime Minister Modi during his interaction with Prime Minister Johnson, when he mentioned that we must take steps to ensure that the economic offenders who have fled into the UK are brought back into India. And we have two such prominent cases at the moment. Both of them are important cases as far as India is concerned. And I'm sure that the UK will try its best to fulfill that requirement in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on significance of Prime Minister's virtual summits with British and Australian premiers. The participants were Anil Vadva, former diplomat, and Simran Sodhi, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.com. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.